So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Deliverance of the Yamala Arjun Trees, Text 34 to 35. Translation. Appearing in bodies like those of an ordinary fish, tortoise and hog, you exhibit activities impossible for such creatures to perform. Appearing in bodies like those of an ordinary fish, tortoise and hog, you exhibit activities impossible for such creatures to perform. Extraordinary, incomparable, transcendental activities of unlimited power and strength. These bodies of yours, therefore, are not made of material elements, but are incarnations of your Supreme Personality. You are the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have now appeared with full potency for the benefit of all living entities within this material world. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:7-8, Yada Yada Hidamasya Glani Bhavati Bharta Abhuta Namadamasya Tadatmanam Shijam Jaham Patrunaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samstapanataya Sambhavame Yuge Yuge. Krishna appears as an incarnation when real spiritual life declines and when rogues and thieves increase to disturb the situation of the world. Unfortunate, less intelligent persons, bereft of devotional service, cannot understand the Lord's activities, and therefore such persons describe these activities as kalpana, mythology or imagination, because they are rascals and the lowest of men. Namam duskritano mudha prapajante naradama. Such men cannot understand that the events described by Vyasadeva in the Puranas and other Shastras are not fictitious or imaginary, but factual. Krishna, in his full unlimited potency, here shows that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For although the two trees were so large and steady that even many elephants could not move them, Krishna, as a child, exhibited such extraordinary strength that they fell down with a great sound. From the very beginning, by killing Putana, Shaktasura, and Trinavartasura, by causing the trees to fall, and by showing the entire universe within his mouth, Krishna proved that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The lowest of men, mudhas, because of sinful activities, cannot understand this, but devotees can accept it without a doubt. Thus the position of a devotee is different from that of a non-devotee. Om Agyana Temarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhattarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchikalpa Tarubhishcha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnava Namo Namaha. So nice to be here in my home from home, my original home actually, before I came to Scotland, back home. Okay, so there's a common theme running through all the different prayers here by Nalakuvera and Manigriva. Ordinary men cannot understand these events are factual. So I had a question I wanted to ask everybody. Why doesn't Srila Prabhupada use the word believe that these events are factual? Because he uses the word understand. He doesn't say believe. He specifically uses the word understand. So why does Prabhupada distinguish and use the word uses the word understand as opposed to believe? Because generally with religion we say, oh, do you believe that the Lord is the Lord? Do you believe that there is hell? Do you believe? You're going, and if you believe, that's usually enough, right? That gets you in, you know. As long as you believe, you're in. You're on the list for going back. So why understand? Science, that's a good one, yeah, because it's a science. So you could say, a scientist wouldn't say, well, I believe that oxygen and hydrogen makes water. He says, I understand, yeah. Yeah, that's another point as well, yeah. That irrespective of what your feelings are, because you can change your faith and you can change your belief, but you can't change the facts. You either understand the facts or you don't understand the facts, but the facts remain the same. Whereas there is an idea going around that whatever you believe can become real. So if you can get enough people to believe something, it can become real. But that's actually not a fact. So, yeah. Any other reasons why Prabhupada would use the word understand as opposed to believe? Okay, so anyway, that's one to meditate. Also, belief is weaker, like faith it can change. Understanding is more like, so along the lines of understanding in our philosophy, we have Pratyaksagavamam Dhamya, explained in the ninth chapter. This knowledge is the king of education because it gives you direct experience of the self by realization. That's Pratyak. Pratyak means direct experience. So of all the different processes, whatever can give you direct experience, whatever can give you understanding is the highest. You're becoming aware of the truth. And then also, Swayam Eva Sparachyada, that verse, Nabhavam Graham Indriya, that the senses are gross and they cannot understand, but Seva Mukhihi Jivado, by engaging the tongue in Seva, then Swayam, the personality, Eva, certainly, Sparachyada. Spurat manifests, and all the different aspects of the Spurat. So it always reminds me when I heard of the word Spurat, it's like you're sitting in the bath and a little duck suddenly floats up. You know, you put the duck under the water and then Spurat, it's become manifest, you know. Oh, here's Krishna, you know. He's been submerged, he's been covered over by the material energy, and then Spurat, the Swayam is Spurat in front of you. So that's a little bit more dynamic than just believing, isn't it? Because if you believe something, there's no Spurat going on. You could be sitting there believing that there's a yellow duck in your bath and you're really believing it, but someone's punctured the duck, so it's sitting on the bottom of the bath, so you believe it's there, but there's no Spurat. But when it's, woof, there it is, there's the duck, there's Krishna, you know? So it's more kind of dynamic than just, well, we're going to believe this, and here's a list of beliefs. If you believe these list of beliefs, you'll go to heaven, you know? It's a bit more dynamic. So here's another one. Okay, so anyway, Prabhupada goes on to say that toward the end, he says something very heavy, actually. It doesn't seem, sometimes Srila Prabhupada will say something in the purport, and you think, I'm okay with that, that's fine. But then you turn it the other way around. Like Prabhupada says, you'll show your love for me by how you cooperate. And you think, I'm good with that, okay, that's good, yeah, okay, I love Prabhupada. But then you turn it around. If you're not going to cooperate, then it's really heavy, isn't it? Because it means you don't love Prabhupada. So then it becomes... So he does another one here at the end of the purport. He says, the lowest of men, because of sinful activities, cannot understand this. So the initial reaction is, well, that's me off the hook. I'm not the lowest of men. And I understand, so I'm okay. No pressure on me. But then if you turn it around, if you don't understand... If you're struggling sometimes with the philosophy and you know, sometimes when you're in Sankirtan and nobody stops for 20 minutes, you start struggling with the philosophy. Is Krishna really there? You know, nobody's stopping today, you know. Is this process really working? You can have some very, very grave existential questions coming up in the forefront of your consciousness. So how much do we understand? And according to how much we don't understand, that's how much we're in the lowest of men because of sinful activities. Okay, we're not performing sinful activities, but some of us are still reeling from the after effects of performing sinful activities, many for many, many lifetimes. And suddenly here we are. We've had a shower, shaved our head, put a dhoti on. Hari Bol. I'm Narada Muni II. But still, sinful activities will take their toll. And because of that, it will weaken our ability to appreciate, to understand. So in a humble kind of mood, we can think, okay, well, I'm not a very elevated person, therefore I must be, you know, we say lower than, what's lower than the straw in the street? The mud, right? Lower than the straw in the street. What's lower than, if you got straw in the street, what's lower than the straw? Mud, right? Earth. So you could be, if you're reading this purport in your purport, you'd be reading this purport, and you think, and you're proud, you're thinking, lowest of men. But then if you're really humble and you're feeling like you're lower than the straw in the street, you're just the mud in the street, then, oh, Prabhupada's talking about me, you're the lowest of the men, you know, and cannot accept without a doubt. And then Prabhupada just draws the distinction. This is the position of a devotee is different from that of a non-devotee. So we're trying to become devotees. We're aspiring to become devotees. So what's interesting is if you think about it, Prabhupada's saying because of sinful activities, they cannot understand this. So we know that if we chant Hare Krishna, we're freed from millions and millions and millions of lifetimes of sins. So if we chant Hare Krishna, we're okay. But the sinful reaction is easy to get rid of, but the danger of sinful activity or the after effects of sinful activity is it jeopardizes our understanding of Krishna. So what is our understanding of Krishna? How well do we understand Krishna? And that's impeded by sinful activity. So anyway, I went into the dictionary to have a look at this word and understanding, because it just kind of piqued my curiosity. Well, when we understand, what do we understand by understanding? What is your understanding of understanding, or anyone's understanding? So anyway, in the dictionary it says, to perceive the intended meaning of. And then I had to look at the word appreciate, because we often say, oh, I appreciate this. And appreciate is very similar, isn't it, to understand. And I was wondering, well, what's the difference then between appreciating something and understanding something? Because you may understand something, but you may not appreciate it, right? You may understand that you're a millionaire, but you may not appreciate being a millionaire. You may think, oh no, this is going to be terrible. It'll distract me from my spiritual life. So you may understand, but you may not. So the word appreciation, to recognize the full worth, and then in the second meaning, understand the situation, fully grasp the full implications of. So appreciating something also is understanding something, but it's to fully grasp the full implications. And the interesting thing about it, if we go from understand to appreciate, where do we go from appreciate? Then we go into gratitude. So from understanding something, we get to being grateful. So it's interesting, isn't it, how it develops from just understanding. I understand Krishna's God. Do you understand Krishna's God? Yeah. I appreciate. Do you appreciate? Yeah, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. You know, then you understand. So see how deep it is. Whereas if you just believe something, so we're getting into emotions. It's no longer just, oh, 2 + 2 = 4. Krishna is God. I accept it. Yeah, I understand that. Then we're getting into emotions. Wow, I really appreciate. I'm so grateful to have this awareness, you know. So Prabhupada, it's interesting because Prabhupada says the position of a devotee is different from that of a non-devotee. So if you're making a transition, which I'm personally doing, from a non-devotee to a devotee, then you're somewhere in between, right? So you hear an absolute statement, black is black and white is white. And you're going from black to white. So you're not black, but you're not white. You're kind of in between, right? You're trying to be a devotee and you have been a non-devotee. So you're in the stage in between. So although we want to get to devotee, and although we have been non-devotee, we're not in either right now. We're in between. We're trying to become devotee. So that helps us to see that we're shifting our position and we're deepening our understanding. So our understanding is deepening every day. Hopefully we're appreciating a little bit more Krishna consciousness, our relationship with Krishna. And we can also appreciate that it's due to good fortune and great compassion that we're being allowed to facilitate the change. And we should reciprocate with that by extending the same opportunity to all non-devotees who are potential devotees as a way of reciprocation and appreciation. Appreciation leads into gratitude from understanding. So that's what I gleaned from these verses. What time do we start? 8:30. Oh, okay. So we can churn it a little bit then, okay. So I hope you don't mind if we get everybody involved then. So Krishna says, Janma Karma, Chime Devyam. He says, one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not take birth again. So how do we know whether we understand? How do we know that we understand? Or how do we gauge our level of understanding that Krishna is God? Yes.
When you experience
our deathlessness. We feel that we're no longer afraid of death. And are you experiencing that? No. You have glimpses? I'm sure you have your moments. So you could be thinking, okay, well, I'm just wondering how far along the path am I getting here, you know? So you'll find by how you react to situations. See, the interesting thing about Krishna consciousness, we know a lot of stuff, but we don't understand a lot of stuff. And then we find out we don't understand it when, say, you go out and it's raining, you know, and you, oh, it's raining, blah, blah, oh. And it's a big ordeal, you know, and it's much responsive to Kunteya, Sitoshna, Sukadukada. You should, not only should you tolerate, but you should tolerate without being disturbed. So that's the understanding, isn't it? And then we find, oh, and they say the grossest manifestation of the modes of nature is the weather. And we really get it in Scotland. They say in Scotland that one day it was a sunny day in Glasgow, and the Glaswegians thought the sun was a UFO. That's how rare the sun appears in Glasgow. So there you have it, the grossest manifestation of the modes of material nature. Your first test of the day, Prabhu. How are you going to react to the rain? And the interesting thing about the rain in Scotland is it isn't just rainy, it's windy. So you're holding your umbrella like this, and that's great. But the wind's blowing all the rain, so it's all like hitting you here, you know. So then you hold your body there. But if you're standing in the wrong direction with your body there, then the body goes and is destroyed instantly. So anyway, you can be standing there in the rain with a bag full of soggy books, thinking, okay, so let's just see now, do I understand what Krishna's saying? So we get a chance. So if we can see it like that, then when things go wrong, wow, here's an opportunity to see how much I understand. And if we want to stay in our comfort zone, then we're not going to really know how much we understand, you know. We can think we're cool and everything's fine and, you know, everything will be okay. But we need little things to shake us up to see, to upset the status quo, the norm. And then when things go a little bit, when things shake us up a little bit, it's like I was talking to Jayadev Prabhu yesterday. And because he's had an operation on his heart, then everything's been, his whole psyche has been invaded. So he's feeling very kind of fragile. And I remember once I was in a business, and I think it's a similar operation actually. You know, when you have a bypass, they cut the sternum and they open up the whole cage, then they put it back and they staple it. And I said to the guy, how are you feeling? And I kind of just, you know, in a friendly way, but everything was just shaking. And he goes, oh, don't do that. Please don't do that. So he's like, he's inside this cage, but the cage is all creaky and it's all. So it just reminded me of that song by Govinda Das, Kamala Dala Jala, Jivana Talamala. That the Jivana is like Jala on the Kamala, and it's Talamala, it's tottering. It's tottering on the Kamala, like a little blob of jala. So if you're going around feeling like a talamala jala on a kamala, you'd be feeling pretty humble, right? You wouldn't be like, you wouldn't be doing Donald Trumps on people, right? You'd be like, so, proposal. So that's the reality, actually. Humility really just means reality. And humility, you're thinking. See, the nature of humility is, it's an interesting thing. When I first took to Krishna consciousness, back in the days, I had the idea that everybody was on the racing track, and somewhere ahead of me. I could see someone had been doing it for 10 years. He was way ahead, and he'd been doing it for 5 hours, and he was a little bit ahead, and we're off, you know, so we're all running along on the track. And then if someone new joins, I'm ahead of you, you know, and you're going along. And then as some of them leave, you're thinking, okay, so I'm a bit more ahead now because there's not that many of us left. And, you know, and that's what it was like on the Bhakti program. And so I was thinking, I'm getting places. I'm only one of the three that were left from the first batch. And those are the ones, you know, so I was thinking I'm getting somewhere, you know. But then as you go on, then as the process starts to work and you start feeling humble, then everyone, it looks like everyone's getting way ahead. And you're thinking, oh, no, everyone's getting way, way ahead now, and they're going to leave me behind. I'm becoming the lowest here. I'm becoming the most worthless. There's so many things Krishna showed me I'm not qualified to do. And they're all he's so far out, look at him, and he's doing well, and he's, you know, and that's actually really good because you're becoming humble. But you have this mundane idea of getting places means, you know, I'm at the top of the stack and everyone's at the bottom of the stack. So it's disorientating. So we have to kind of recalibrate to assess our progress in Krishna consciousness. As you make progress, you'll start seeing how elevated and wonderful everybody else is and how horrible and unqualified you are. But that can be very disorientating. But that's helping you to understand. So to really get into this whole phenomena of understanding, we have to understand what understanding is, what it means, you know. Perceiving that you're free from birth and death, becoming aware of your spiritual nature, that you're not the body, that you're the soul. So personally, I've got a long way to go. And when the body's aching or I get a headache, I have to take an aspirin or something, and immediately, oh, I can't cope with that. I can't cope. Even the smallest amount of pain, you know, is so, so difficult. And we're supposed to be becoming aware that we're not the body. And stop identifying with the body, with the false ego of being the body. And so, anyway, there's plenty, when you're chanting, you're supposed to be chanting, thinking lower than the straw in the street. And the more you're realizing how bad your chanting is, well, the more you can take shelter of, well, I'm definitely unqualified. I'm definitely not very. So in that sense, it's good, you know, you're becoming aware. So you can use what would be seemingly negative as a positive thing to help us become, to appreciate more, this position of being very fallen and considering ourselves low and unqualified. Then these types of, experiences and appreciations, they help that to deepen, actually. So anyway, it's interesting because Manugriva and Nalakuvara are offering these prayers, and they've been standing around in the bodies of trees for, is it 10,000 years in the Yamalajan? A long time anyway, they were standing there. And finally, all this austerity has bore fruit and they're seeing Krishna. And so now they're becoming so much more aware that their understanding is really starting to deepen, and they're appreciating Krishna, the Supreme Person, and they're offering all these wonderful prayers. So they've come to the point. And then, so we're reading this and we're thinking, okay, so when are we going to come to that point also? And how long are we going to have to tolerate? And what are we going to have to tolerate? What are we going to have to undergo to come to this point where our relationship with Krishna, Krishna's Supreme Personality is made aware to us. And it's interesting when you're chanting, there's different levels of chanting according to the Shikshastikam prayers. So it explains that on the verse Trinadapi Sanichena, Tararapi Sahishtana, this is the stage where the devotee is becoming nishta, where he's starting to become fixed. And then at the stage of Ruchi, this is the stage where the devotee starts to become aware of his real nature and his relationship, and then the bhava starts to come and he starts to become aware of who he really is. And this is the stage that we've got to come to, hopefully in this lifetime, so that we can be like Manugriva and Nalakuvara, and we can understand Krishna as God. And Srila Prabhupada said, actually, he said, the only problem with my disciples is that they don't accept that Krishna's God. That is the only problem, really. And although we think we do, it's interesting, in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada breaks down anger, fear, and anger, fear, and attachment. Oh, he breaks down attachment as because material attachment, if you actually look at what material attachment is, if material attachment was like a glue, material attachment glue, this glue attaches you to the material energy, and you looked at the ingredients, then Prabhupada analyzes the ingredients as the conception of void, which underlies the frustration of life, negligence of spiritual practices, and fear of a personal identity. So this is all kind of wound up together, and this is the glue that's keeping us attached to the material energy. So as you start to break it down, then you start to see that all the attachment and the obstacles and the natas are all born of these weaknesses that we have, and the fear of a personal identity is one of them, which is interesting. Afraid of being a person, because if you're a person, you have to be responsible. And television is very popular these days. Intoxication is very popular because you don't have to be a person. You're just a blob sitting in front of the TV. They've done tests on people actually watching TV, and it's the same activity as somebody in a coma. So you just go brain dead. You just... There's no interaction. It's just washing over you. EastEnders, Coronation Street. You're just there and no more, you know. You don't have to be a person. And then phones are really good. Somebody's coming up and you're thinking, oh, God, it's... And then they get the phone out and they make a phone call quick, or they get on the internet quick and try to avoid a personal interaction. And they've taken people out of the shops now, so you just have to scan everything. And then the machine just says, thank you. Take your shopping quick and get out the way. And so people are trying to avoid more and more, because as material attachment increases, more afraid of being a person. And then the conception of void, which is all frustration, is born of this conception of void. If you analyze, when you become frustrated and you're kicking a car because it won't start, it's not because you see Krishna's hand in what's going on. It's because you're thinking, well, if Krishna is God, it must be his day off. And everything's going wrong today, and this is just a useless car, and it's probably nothing after this anyway, and I'm doing all this devotional service, and then it's just going to be void. So this is frustrating. A devotee wouldn't be frustrated. He would see, oh, Krishna's hand, tatenu kampam shishukshamano. I'm getting a token of what I'm doing. I'm so glad that it's just this that's happening and not more. This is how a devotee is seeing things. But someone that's very attached... And then also negligence of spiritual practice, you know, not getting up early, not chanting, not following any principles. So mix them all together in a bowl, and that is material attachment, folks. And that's what's gluing us to the material world, and that's what we're trying to get free from. So that's what's impeding our understanding, because our understanding, actual understanding, is already there. We understand Krishna's God. We understand that we're his servant. That's already there. That's deep, deep, deep down inside. And we're trying to clear away all the debris and get back into the actual understanding, which is, it's like you could understand the mating habits of the red ant, or you could understand how the caterpillar forms a chrysalis and then becomes a moth, or you could understand so many superficial things, but are you actually aware of the reality of the situation? We can have so many... it's like the scientists will take a Bunsen burner. They say in the experiment, take a Bunsen burner, take a test tube, take hydrogen, take oxygen, mix it together. But the most important part of the experiment that they leave out is take a conscious living entity. And according to how the conscious living entity is situated in the modes of material nature will determine his perception of the environment. Now, that's completely... neglected. That's just, oh, forget all that. We're just going to deal with facts. But there are no facts unless there's a conscious living entity perceiving the facts in the first place. So they've missed out the most important thing. So understanding, our real understanding, is based upon who we are, what we are, and then our relationship with what's going on around us. That's real. And then all these other things are like, you know, just the fact that you know about ants and butterflies and moths and things doesn't really, is not really going to change the way that you conduct yourself. It's interesting because the word educato, Spanish, the translation of educato is well-behaved. So how a person conducts himself determines his level of understanding. We can see by how the person behaves, oh, this person really understands. And this other person is behaving like this, he doesn't really understand. So it's very pervading, pervades everything. And by purification... We can our understanding can again shine. Shishi Radha Gokunanda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai. So I'll stop there. If there are any questions or comments, then you're very welcome to make them or ask them.